spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
Sabbath. It's always wonderful to be at church on Sabbath. Now, I have to tell you, challenges occur. And mine this week was a simple little flood. I work for the Yavapai County Superior Court as an officer of the court, taking care of the court orders under things they have jurisdiction over. One of them is the Verde irrigation ditch in Camp Verde. It runs for 20 miles, and I have a responsibility for it. Well, the flood waters started coming up Wednesday night, and the river reached so high that it began to overflow our head gate at the canal. It began to circumvent the head gate and wash the bank of the canal down and flood lower downstream on the canal. Downstream from the canal was an RV park, well, actually two RV parks, some houses, and the ditch breached and started to flood those areas, and they had to evacuate. Also, the river was right at the bottom of them. Ended up, I had to attend several emergency management meetings with the town of Camp Verde and Yavapai County. In other words, basically nonstop since Thursday night. Of all weeks, why couldn't it have been next week? But that's how it works. We have our challenges. And God provides. Praise the Lord. And thank goodness, folks, for Sabbath. Because I said, you know what? I'm done. It's Sabbath. And I left the phone in my pickup. Praise the Lord. I am humbled by our Savior's love. I'm humbled by the people in the Bible. One of them is a young boy, 17 years old, on a mission for his father to see how his brothers are doing. Yes, it was Joseph, 17 years old. Happy to see his brothers. When once he'd seen them in sight, he was joyed. Nothing could have prepared him for what his brothers had in mind. The brothers actually wanted to take his life. As he got to the brothers, they threw him in a pit. Ultimately, instead of taking his life, they said, well, we'll sell him to the Ishmaelites, headed to Egypt, slavery. That'll solve our problem. And folks, the reason I bring up this is what faith we can learn from Joseph. What faith can be in our lives. Because Joseph was sold, can you imagine 17 years old on the caravan with the Ishmaelites headed to Egypt, not to see his father, his home. And yet, Joseph was a Christian man. He had faith in his Savior, our Savior. We know the story. He went to Egypt, was in prison. Then Potiphar was in his home as a slave, basically took over running the home, was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, back in prison, met the gentleman that did the wine, I forget the name of what his position was, in the baker. Pharaoh had the dreams of the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of drought, and called upon Joseph to interpret the dreams. Through all those circumstances, Joseph had faith that God was working. Was God in charge? Absolutely. Absolutely, God was in charge. Did Joseph have faith that God was in charge? Absolutely. Not only did he become second ruler of Egypt, But he also met his brothers afterwards coming for food that had been stored. He saved the lives not only of his family, but of Egypt and a lot of the known world at the time because of his faith in God. Can we learn a lesson from Joseph? Absolutely. He's able to bring his family, his brothers. And you know, here's a little another thing about Joseph. He forgave his brothers. When they came to get food, he had them under his power, folks. He could have said, I want revenge. But was that who Joseph was? What a man of God. To have the faith to do God's will, work out, did he fulfill God's plan? Absolutely. God had a plan. Joseph was a part of it. Did God know that? Yes. What a man Joseph was. His family was brought to Egypt. They began to thrive in the land of Goshen. And so much so that they were outnumbering the Egyptians. Was God watching over them? Absolutely. But Pharaoh was a little concerned because he was afraid they'd outnumber them and overtake Egypt. So he put them into slavery. Now that wasn't Egypt, the Israelites' home, was it? They did want to go home. For 400 years they'd been in captivity, pleading with the Lord finally to take them home. Home to the promised land. Did God forget them? No. God had a plan, and there was a man that was truly a Christian man that God had in mind. Moses, saved when the order was for all the baby boys of Israel to be murdered. So Moses was saved by Pharaoh's daughter in a basket on the river. What a man Moses was. Thank the Lord because he was able to have 12 years of training in the home of his mother, Jochebed. Praise the Lord that he had that foundation, folks. How important is our children's foundations? It's why we operate a school for our Savior. So Moses had 12 years of learning about Christianity, about the Israelites at his mother's lap. Then he was called to the palace by Pharaoh's daughter and began 40 years of training by the Egyptians. This would be so important in God's plan, folks, because Moses learned how to lead, how to organize, how to govern the country, how to militarily excel. And then he was trained to take over as Pharaoh of Egypt. What a training he got. Was this in God's plan? Absolutely. Because it would become useful later. But now Moses took it upon himself to try to deliver the children of Israel and killed the two people that were in combat, one of the individuals. And he had to flee into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. Now he got the whole entire new training that God had intended for him to lead the children of Israel, to humble him from the training that he had partaken in Egypt. Now, here's a lesson for us, folks. I want you to remember this. 80 years it took for God to train Moses to lead the children of Israel. For 400 years, the children had been in bondage. They were pleading for deliverance. Did God deliver them at that point? No. Because he had a plan for 80 years of training for Moses. So if you think that it hasn't happened quick enough, understand God has a plan for each one of us, and that plan takes time for him to work out. Is he in charge? Absolutely. Is his plan going to end as he intends it to end? Absolutely. But sometimes he has to work out events for it to work in our lives. So don't be discouraged if it takes a little longer than you think it should. Because God's in charge. God is got a plan for each of us. Absolutely. We know the story that Aaron and Moses went back, asked Pharaoh for the children of Israel to be released, which he refused. And the poor children of Israel had to work harder by Pharaoh's command because he's going, well, I'm not going to let you go. You're going to work harder. But did God still have a plan? Yes. They had to have their faith that he would deliver them. We know the 10 plagues occurred, with the last plague being the firstborn of Egypt, or those that did not have the blood smeared on their post, doorpost, that they would die. And folks, remember, these weren't firstborn children. These were firstborn of Egypt. There was a lot of death that occurred, and they were ready to let them go. Finally, they were ready to be released. Pharaoh said, go. The people of Egypt said, go. Here's gifts, here's gold, here's jewels. Go. We're ready to let you go. Now, all the years of training come into play because who had to organize hundreds of thousands of Israelites to journey? God had trained Moses well. Moses was able to train and to organize and to lead the people out of Egypt. Now we know that God was with them through the cloud and the pillar of fire by night. They made it to the Red Sea. And there was a problem. Now if any of you saw the Verde River last Thursday, it was a lot of water. Whole lot of water. And the Red Sea was a lot of water. And the Israelite people were now, what happens now? The Egyptians had decided to come after them. The army of Pharaoh and his chariots were on their way. Was God going to say, what? I don't have a plan. I think God had a plan, didn't he? Moses believed in his plan. The children of Israel weren't quite sure. Moses said, please, Lord, what do we do now? Give us a way out. And prayed. And the pillar of fire come down and stopped the Egyptians, or the cloud. And God parted the Red Sea. Now, folks, when I was watching the very river flooding through at a high water level, can you imagine it backing up and a dry path developing through the sea? I mean, folks, if you saw that happen, would you not believe that God was in charge? So the Israelites were able to cross over the Red Sea. I mean, I can't even envision looking at the Verde River, the Red Sea backing up, and the children of Israel walking across the Red Sea. But that is exactly what occurred. After the last foot had reached the other shore, the cloud was raised or went away or whatever occurred, and the Egyptians said that now's our chance to get them. Because they thought they had him backed up against the sea, didn't they? But they didn't know God's power. They still had not learned from the plagues. They had still not seen all that had occurred, that God was in charge and was delivering the Israelites. So the Egyptians started to cross the Red Sea. And of course we know what happened. The sea closed on them. And they were lost. Is God in charge? Absolutely. Now when the Israelites had reached, not too many days passed, they actually reach the Canaan borderline. 150 miles was all they had to travel. Was God ready for them to go into Canaan? No. And keep all this in mind as I continue on with my sermon this morning. Because God wasn't ready for them to go in, because they would have been discouraged by what they faced in their short time of faith in God. So they had to turn south. We know that they went through and reached a point at Mount Sinai. And this was an important point because Moses received the Ten Commandments. Our whole law, the whole law of God for us, the Ten Commandments. The whole law for Israel, the Ten Commandments. 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was on the mount. And folks, you know what happened. The Israelites built a golden calf idol to worship. And I've always wondered, how is that possible? Yet, I know humanness. Moses came back down and, of course, was just appalled at what was taking place. Broke the table of stone. Later, was given again the Ten Commandments. How important that was. Now let's move forward. I know there's a lot that occurred on the travel to Canaan, but we won't go over all that this morning. What I want to do next is talk about they reached the shores, the borders of Canaan. So, well, we got to know what we're dealing with. So they chose 12 spies to go into Canaan and see what they were up against. We know that the 12 spies come back. We know the 10 of them had no faith that God could work. After all the miracles they had seen, folks, do we know God's in charge? Do we have faith that God's in charge? Yet 10 of the spies said we can't take them. They're too powerful. They're too much. Joshua and Caleb were two spies of the 12 who said, I believe in God. We can take them. The 10 spies won out. How sad. They were there. They were ready to go into Canaan. God had led them there. Would God have given them Canaan at that point? Do you believe that he would have? Absolutely. Yet, they were discouraged. The outcome was that they finally decided, oh, we want to just go ahead and take it. And of course, they lost and were defeated. And we know that they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years to come back to the borders of Canaan. They did not have faith to go into the promised land and had to wander in the wilderness. Folks, do we have faith for our promised land? We're on the borders. We have a promised land, the New Jerusalem. It's not if, it's when. It's a promise, is it not? You know, Moses was laid to rest on Mount Nebo at that point before they could re-enter or go into the promised land. What a man Moses was, folks, for so many deeds. At one point, he even said, Lord, take my life and my family, spare the Israelites, as he ran through the camp as they were dying. And God heard him and stopped the death. What a man of faith, love, belief in Christ was Moses. Moses had great love for his Savior. Our Savior had great love for Moses. Moses went by himself up into Mount Nebo and was laid to rest. And that wasn't the end of the story. God come and took him. Moses pleaded and prayed to go into the land of promise for all that he had done to get the Israelites to the border. But God had said no because of one thing. He had struck the rock instead of speaking to it. But, folks, did God forget him? God came back and took him. Took him to heaven. What a Savior and what a man we had in Moses. Again, to enter the promised land, the children of Israel had to cross another river, the Jordan River. I don't know how I would have been, but I can't imagine not seeing the power of God through the Red Sea, through the backing up of the water of the Jordan Sea, and walking across on dry land. Remember, this was a whole new generation of Israelites, and they got to see the power of God in that. We know that Joshua took the place of Moses. We know that the Israelites took the city of Jericho, folks. Now, do cities just crumble on their own? We know that God's in charge, and he made the way for the Israelites to enter into an earthly promised land. The children of Israel occupied it. So remember that as I move forward. Because I want to now discuss our promised land. Just as the Israelites entered their promised land, we have ours to enter. But ours is different, folks. Ours is for eternity. Not earthly, but eternity. Is it not promised to us? If you want to turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a promised land that is, folks. No more of the earthly trials, but heavenly eternity. Can we understand what awaits us? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What absolute love God has for us. We can't even comprehend, folks. I one time tried to think of eternity, never ending, going on forever and ever, and how it would be. And you know what I got? Just a bad headache. I could not comprehend eternity because we're limited here to the earth. But this isn't our stopping point. God loves us. The earth is not home. We need to keep looking up, folks. Not here, not beside, not down, but up at what our future holds, the promised land. Now, just a little insight how we're going to get there. Let us start with our deliverance from the old world of sin. Not long afterwards, some of our group who had been gazing at the heavens, who had been gazing at excitedly, called out, "Look, look, there." They pointed out a small black cloud, about half the size of a man's hand. In solemn silence, we gazed upon it. Please bear with me, folks, I'm tired. As it grew larger and drew near the earth, the clouds darkness faded completely away and it became one large burst of indescribable glory. At the same time, we heard strains of beautiful music growing in volumes as Jesus and his angels neared the earth. Words completely failed to describe this tremendous scene. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. Our journey to the promised land. As each person stepped from the grave, he's greeted by his own guardian angel, who had unseen had been his angel from the earliest moments. What a meeting that'll be. What stories my guardian angel can tell. And he'll be there to meet those that are laid to rest. The angel had watched their steps, covered their head in the mist of peril, had been with them in the valley of the shadow of death, had marked their resting place, and was now there to meet them when the life-giving voice had sounded. Now these angels guide their newly resurrected friends on their way to meet the Lord. You know, folks, Jesus knows where every person who is laid to rest is, from Adam and Eve down to our current day. The guardian angels who watched over them in life is watching over them in rest. They know their resting place, every single one, under whatever circumstances there are. How awesome is our Savior! While the resurrection was taking place, something was happening to us who were alive. A wonderful physical transformation came over us. In the twinkling of an eye, we were clothed with immortality. No more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more crying, no more human illness, no more frailty. Perfection through our Savior. As we are drawn up to meet our Savior, what an awesome, glorious meeting is taking place, folks. Our children, our fathers, our mothers, our siblings, our friends we have known on earth, those who were laid to rest. They've been old, wrinkled, bent, and sick. Now we see them changed in appearance. Now they are strong. All evidence of illness, health, disease, old age, gone, forgotten. And their forms are symmetrical, perfect. I know for me, I look forward to meeting my mother and my father and my sister. God has planned, and this is so awesome, God has planned that our personal identity was perfectly preserved in the resurrection and the transformation. Because of this, we could recognize not only our loved ones, but so are our friends. In other words, you won't be a spirit floating around someplace. You'll be the person still identified here on earth, but transformed. How awesome is that, folks? Is that a promised land for us? Absolutely. Greatest of all, we will be meeting our Savior. Our heads are uplifted and the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness shone upon us as we drew near the throne. All fear of seeing Jesus, God the Father, face to face is gone. Through divine aid, we had formed perfect characters. Every sinful tendency, every imperfection has been removed by the blood of our Savior and his sacrifice, washed and cleansed by the blood. Jesus welcomes us to a new life. Now we are ready to make our journey to the heavenly capital with the multitude who are with us. Our guardian angels, our Savior, our family, our friends. Our journey is a flight which takes 1 week to reach heaven. This is one flight I want to be on. Not all of our time is spent in travel. On the way, we stop to spend the first Sabbath with the heavenly host. We give glory to God and listen to Jesus as he speaks to us. What a Sabbath to look forward to. It's our first Sabbath with our Savior, folks. What an awesome time that will be. Also, we will learn of the universe. We will be able to talk to our guardian angels. And they can tell us the rest of the story. There's so many things I want to know. There's so many times we don't know how much they saved us here on earth, do we? I know times they saved me, but I don't know all of them. We're now nearing the holy city. Our journey is ended. We are home at last in the promised land. After the welcoming ceremony in the center of the holy city, we are taken to the mansions that Jesus has prepared for us. John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. To be with our Savior. To be in the promised land where, once again, for the third time, no sin, no death, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no grief. God will wipe away all tears. It's a promise, folks. Not if, it's a promise. It will happen. We can say the supreme activity of heaven is worshiping our God and Redeemer, speaking words of praise, thanksgiving, and adoration, bowing before our Lord and Savior in holiness, not only in heaven, but we can do it right here on earth, folks. We have quite a Savior. When the earth is made new, the great controversy will have ended. Sin and sinners will be no more. The entire universe will be clean. It'll be our promised land. We will declare God is love. The beautiful new earth will, with all its glory, will be our eternal inheritance. And here's an awesome thought. We will possess it forever. And again, I can't imagine forever. It gave me a headache the last time I tried. Jesus said, surely I come quickly, and with John we can answer in Revelation 22, verse 20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And here is our plea. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We're ready, folks, are we not? We don't need to wonder any longer. Remember my analogy of the promised land for the Israelites on earth. Our promised land, our wondering needs to be across the border and into the promised land. And it's close, folks. You know, I want to warn you the danger of me saying it's close, because don't think it's tomorrow. But only God knows. But if it doesn't happen next week, don't become discouraged, because God's in charge. Remember how he had to train Moses to deliver the people? it didn't happen as soon enough. There's been things in my life that I wanted to happen next week that took 3 years. But God was in charge and it worked. And he took care of the problems. It just went as soon as I wanted. So I learned that God's in charge. How important, folks. We have a promised land. It is before us and it is for eternity. I do not want to miss the flight to heaven and then on to the new earth and the Jerusalem made new, because we'll get to see an awesome thing. When the new Jerusalem comes down and Jesus recreates the earth, we'll get to watch. We'll get to see it this time. Only it won't be created as we know it now. It'll be newly created and the center of the universe. How awesome. We have something to look forward to. God is in charge. I want to see each one of you in our new promised land.
Stand for the closing hymn.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. When my pilgrimage I close, victor o'er the last of foes, when I soar to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Please bow your heads. Dear Father, thank you. Thank you for the love for us, the mercy. Oh, dear Father, I thank you for the land of promise. You promise us salvation through your blood, promised us eternal life with you. Dear Father, bless each one of us, bless this family, bless us in the week to come. Please, dear Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit for each one. In Jesus' name, amen.